Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, April 12th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, because of this, and this is 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Because of this unique spiritual life of the church age, since we keep on having this ministry, that is, every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. Just as we have received mercy, grace, and action, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not living, not walking in the sphere of deception, the cosmic system serving our own ends and purposes, nor falsifying, distorting the word of God. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then that brought us to verses 3 and 4, where we have Satan's strategy for the unbeliever. Verse 3, and in fact, if our gospel is being hidden, first-class condition, and it is being hidden to the ones who are perishing. Verse 4, in whose case the unbelievers who are perishing, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers for the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And then that's as far as we got last time, and we will pick it up this evening. This passage tells us that Satan does not want a clear presentation of the gospel given to anyone. He does this by distorting the grace gospel into a false gospel, of salvation by works. These unbelievers reject the truth of the grace gospel and believe the lie of a false gospel. And by their own free will, bad decisions, they destroy themselves. They reject Jesus Christ and salvation by faith alone in Him. And they believe the lies of religion and legalism and the cosmic system. Every time they reject the truth of the grace gospel, they build scar tissue on their heart, hardness of heart. And their destiny is the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire. John 3:36, Revelation 20, 12 to 15. So this passage makes it clear. Satan has a strategy concerning the unbeliever. As the ruler of planet Earth and as the enemy of God, he seeks to blind the unbeliever's mind to the grace gospel. That's our passage, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. He motivates every form of unbeliever reversionism, Romans 1, 21 to 32. Satan takes the gospel away from their heart and substitutes the lies of false gospels, to prevent their salvation, Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 12. Satan deceives the unbeliever through religion, legalism. Colossians 2, 8, Revelation 17, 1 to 6. Verse 4 says, in whose case, the unbelievers who are perishing, the god of this world, Satan. We have studied how with the fall of man in the garden, Satan became the ruler of planet Earth. As the ruler of planet Earth, he is the god of this world. As we speak, he's the one ruling planet Earth. In John 12:31 and 14:30, the Lord Jesus Christ calls Satan the ruler of this world. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, Satan is called the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The whole world is under the control of the evil one, Satan, 1 John 5, verse 19. Verse 4 says, in whose case the unbelievers who are perishing, the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Now, that's very interesting here, the word for unbeliever. It's an adjective. Apistos. A-P-I-S-T-O-S. Actually, a compound word is made up of the alpha privative, which means no, and pistos, which means faith. This is an adjective, but when it's used as a substantive, it is one of the terms used in the Koine Greek for the unbeliever, and is translated unbeliever. Literally, they have no faith. They have no faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Oh, there will be some that have faith in Christ, but they've added legalism, works. And that's exactly what Satan does. And they are not saved. None of them are saved. That is a false gospel. They have no faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So they are said to be apistos. No faith. No faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That is the name of the unbeliever. They reject the truth of the grace gospel, but they will believe the lie of Satan's false gospel. They reject justification by faith and believe the lie of justification by works. Satan's strategy is that he wants to cut off and prevent anyone from believing in Jesus Christ and receiving eternal salvation. Again, verse 4 says, "For the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." Now, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is light in all three categories. Laws of divine establishment is light to the whole human race, believers and unbelievers alike. The light of the gospel is light to the unbelievers for eternal salvation. The light of Bible doctrine is the light for believers to attain spiritual maturity. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ is given to the unbeliever, the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit turns on the light in the unbeliever's soul so that he can see the glory of Christ, his salvation work on the cross for them. The Bible tells us over and over, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John 3:18-21, John 8:12, John 12:35-36, John 12:44-50. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. However, when the unbeliever says no to Jesus Christ, no to the grace gospel, then he believes the lie. Satan puts a veil over his mind, blinding him to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and blinding him to the light of the grace gospel. Salvation is by grace. You add one work to faith in Christ, that's not grace, that's legalism, that's works, that is Satan's false gospel. You have to understand that. That is watered down today by all kinds of believers, and they are 100% wrong. Totally, completely wrong. You add one work to faith in Christ, that is a false gospel. You now have made yourself a co-savior. There are no co-saviors. Jesus Christ said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." All the work was finished for salvation by Christ. There are no co-saviors. You don't have to help him out. These people think, well, I have to help him out. Well, I believe in Christ, but I also have to do this. I have to be baptized. I have to join the church. I have to do this. I have to do that. But I believe in Christ, but I have to do these things. Well, then you're not placing your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He did all the work. You cannot add anything to it. As soon as you add one work, you are making yourself a co-savior, and that is total arrogance and blasphemy to even think that you could be a co-savior. That's blasphemy. You're blaspheming Jesus Christ and saying, he didn't do enough. He didn't do enough, so you got to step in and do something and add to it. So Satan puts a veil over his mind, blinding him to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and blinding him to the light of the grace gospel. So again, verse 4 says, so far, in whose case, unbelievers who are perishing, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers for the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And then we have the last phrase, who is the image of God. We have a relative pronoun host, and the relative pronoun always refers back to its antecedent. The antecedent of the relative pronoun host is Christos. It's referring back to the glory of Christ. We also have the to be verb, ame, The present tense, linear action star, keeps on being. Active voice, Christ performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. He keeps on being the exact image of God. Now that brought us to the word acone. E-I-K long O-N. Acone. This is a very, very important word describing the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get a couple of points. One, acone was literally used of the image of the emperor's head on a coin. In the Roman Empire, they had coins, and stamped on the coin was the image of the emperor's head. And the word there was acone. Two, therefore, acone implies representation and manifestation. Representation and manifestation. Three, like the head of a sovereign imprinted on a coin, so Christ is the exact representation of God the Father. Like the head of a sovereign imprinted on a coin, so Christ is the exact representation of God the Father. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son, this is God the Son, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. There's the word acone, our word. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He spoke, and the universe was created. He simply spoke. His word created the universe. His word created everything in the universe. And His word sustains the universe. So this is He simply, as the living and true God, speaks. God the Father is not the creator of the universe and all things. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. So it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the acone, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. He just speaks. That's it. Four. In John 14, verse 9, Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In John 14, 9, Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Five, therefore, anyone who saw Christ at the first advent, what happened? Well, at the first advent, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, the eternal Son of God left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth, took on true humanity. He did that out of impersonal love for all. To go to a cross, paid a penalty for the sins of the whole world. And he did that for us when we were at our worst. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good. That was impersonal love for all. What's the basis of impersonal love? Righteousness, justice, integrity, virtue, honor. He had infinite honor, infinite virtue, infinite integrity. And therefore he could love the world when we were at our worst with impersonal love for all. So he left heaven to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross. To do that, he had to become true humanity. Deity can't die. He had to become true humanity to go to the cross and fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father. Unlimited atonement, paying the penalty of the sins of the whole world, making everyone savable. Now it's strictly up to the free will of each individual in the human race. So 5. Therefore, anyone who saw Christ in the first advent, the visible manifestation of the invisible God, he saw God the Father indirectly. Anyone who saw Christ throughout the first advent, the visible manifestation of the invisible God, they saw God the Father indirectly. 6. For no one has ever seen God but God the unique Son. He has made him known. For no one has ever seen God, but God, the unique Son. He has made him known. Turn over to John chapter 1. Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 1, verse 18. John 1, 18. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the uniquely born one, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Has made known, this is every pastor's one of his favorite words, at least pastors who still study from the original languages. Exegaomai! E-K-S long E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Now, what word do we get from that in English? Exegete! You know what this really says? That Jesus Christ has exegeted the Father. He's explained him. Great. What a great word. Exegeomai. No one has ever seen God but the uniquely born one who is at the Father's side. He has exegeted him. Exegeomai. He has explained him. John 1:18. 7. Therefore, Christ is the perfect visible representation and manifestation of God the Father. Therefore, Christ is the perfect visible representation and manifestation of God the Father. 8. Akon means the very substance or essential embodiment of someone. The very substance or essential embodiment of someone. Nine, Akon says Christ is the perfect representation of God the Father. The perfect representation of God the Father. Ten, therefore this also says that Christ is the living and true God. Christ is the living and true God. Eleven, you will never understand the person of Christ until, first of all, you understand that He is the eternal God. You will never understand the person of Christ until, first of all, you understand that He is the eternal God. He is the living and true God. And so we have in our verse, Christ is Akon to Theou, who is the exact image of God. Jesus Christ is God. He's undiminished deity. 12. He has the exact same essence as the Father and the Holy Spirit. He has the exact same essence as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, and veracity. God the Father has those attributes. God the Son has those attributes. God the Holy Spirit has those attributes. God is one in essence, three in personality. 13, on that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God, eternal Son of God, took on true humanity so that He could fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross. And because of that plan was designed by God the Father because God the Father had impersonal love for the whole world, for all mankind. Where did He get that impersonal love? Because He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor. And that's the basis for having impersonal love for all, for the unlovely, for the worst, whether it's the worst of mankind or worst of anything. Impersonal love for all. So on that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity so that He could fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross, and by His salvation work on the cross. And He did all the work. There's nothing left for anyone to do. Satan likes to add things. That's his false gospel. Satan will tell you, oh yeah, you got to add this or that or the other thing. And then as soon as you buy that, you have, now Satan has blinded you. You no longer are looking at salvation by grace, but salvation by works. By His salvation work on the cross, unlimited atonement, every member of the human race is savable because of the Father's impersonal love for all in designing Operation Grace and the Son's impersonal love for all in agreeing to carry out the incarnation plan humble himself, take on true humanity, and go to the cross and receive the sins of the whole world and the judgment for those sins. Impersonal love for all. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. Just at that line there, that's the basis of honor, virtue, integrity, impersonal love for all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what is repentance? A change of thinking, a change of mind, a change of mind about Jesus Christ, and simply believe in Him and His finished work on the cross for eternal salvation. So, verse 4. In whose case, unbelievers who are perishing, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers for the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. All right. Now that brings us to verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. Now this is the King, I always start with the King James, and I hate the word preach. For we preach not ourselves. Well, I'm glad that Paul doesn't preach. For we preach not ourselves. This is the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the present active indicative of keruso, with the objective negative u, plus the accusative plural, the reflexive pronoun heautu. The post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Gar. And this gar is used as an emphatic gar. When it's used as an emphatic gar, it may be translated indeed, in fact, certainly. We're going to translate it indeed. And then keruso. K long E R U S S long O. Keruso. Another great word, and for the faithful communicators of the Word of God, faithful pastor teachers today, who have been prepared and study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. This is a very, very important word for the pastor teacher. One, keruso means to announce, to make known. Two, it means to publicly proclaim. It is public teaching. Publicly proclaim, public teaching. Three, it is a public proclamation made by the Kerukhs. K long E R U K S. Kerukhs. The Kerukhs has a job. His job of the Kerukhs is to keruso. And Kerukhs is one of the words that is used to describe the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. It also ascribed in the pre-canon period of the church age, the apostles as well as the pastors. We're living in the post-canon period of the church age. There are no apostles. It's used for the pastor teacher. And in a part of a way, it's applied to every member of the royal family of God, because you have been appointed a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ, and you represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And therefore, as you represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, you proclaim the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, that they have an opportunity to place their faith in Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a privilege. Never occurred before in all of human history. But it has for us. We live in the unique dispensation of the church age. We are all in union with Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. We have made a royal priest and a royal ambassador to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So again, point three was, it is a public proclamation made by the Kerugs, the royal herald. Four, the communicators of the Word of God, both apostles and pastors in the pre-canon period of the church age. Today, in the post-canon period of the church age, pastors, there are no apostles, and the communicators of the gospel of Jesus Christ, royal, every royal ambassador, all of you as royal ambassadors for Christ, you are the royal heralds of the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a royal ambassador for Christ, you are also a royal herald of the King of all kings, Jesus Christ. And what an honor. What an honor to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world in giving the grace gospel. And you ought to understand that. And you know, I've had different people come in here, and I used to have them even get up here and speak from time to time, and then I was given what they were giving out to all of the people they were speaking to, and I looked at it and I almost threw up. It was satanic to the core. And I said, that's it. That's it. And these are so-called doctrinal believers. And it was just false gospel, false gospel, false gospel, false gospel, false gospel. That's all it was. And that's when a fellow was in the church, he said, Dick, I've been to Bible conferences all over America. I've been in all kinds of churches all over America. Nowhere, nowhere do I hear the grace gospel like I hear it here. You need to write a book. Well, I told him, I'm not writing any book. He says, you need to write. He says, all you have to do is put what you say, what you teach, what you say when you give the gospel. Just put that down in a little booklet then. And I will. And I'm not trying to promote myself. I'm not in competition with anyone. I'm not competing with any pastor anywhere at all. But I do feel it is my responsibility to make sure the grace gospel is explained clearly and accurately. And by the grace and power of God, that grace gospel booklet has gone all over the world. To thousands and thousands and thousands all over the world. And that's just the grace and power of God. That has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the grace and power of God. So the communicators of the Word of God and the communicators of the Gospel of Jesus Christ are the royal heralds of the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. 5. They proclaim the grace gospel of the King and the policy of the King publicly. They proclaim the grace gospel of the King and the policy of the King. Publicly. The present tense of Caruso is an iterative present. That's how you diagram the iterative present. It's the present tense of repeated action. Again and again and again and again. The active voice. The Apostle Paul and pastors like Timothy and Titus performed the action of the verb, as well as all the royal family as royal ambassadors proclaiming the gospel. The indicative mood is declarative as an assertion of absolute truth. 6. The objective negative ooh slams the door. Ooh. No. Just seeing if you're awake. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. There, it took a while for you. Looked up there. Ooh. The objective negative ooh slams the door. Paul was not serving his own personal interests. Paul was not serving his own personal interests. 7. He was not making an issue out of himself. He made the issue out of Jesus Christ. And him crucified. He was not making an issue out of himself. He made the issue out of Jesus Christ and him crucified. So in verse 5, Paul is picking up what he was teaching back in verse 2. In verse 2 he said, but we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system all the false teachers were operating in, not living or walking in the sphere of deception, serving our own ends and purposes, nor falsifying or distorting the word of God. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now he's picking that thought up again in verse 5. 9. Unlike the false teachers in Corinth, Paul did not distort the grace gospel, but openly and boldly proclaimed the grace and truth of God's Word. Unlike the false teachers in Corinth, he did not distort the grace gospel, but openly and boldly proclaimed the grace and truth of the Word of God. Ten, Christ was the focus of Paul's teaching. Christ was the focus of Paul's teaching. 11. Paul's ministry was to proclaim Jesus Christ. Proclaim the policy of the King of all kings. And not his own personal interests. Paul's ministry was to proclaim Jesus Christ. To proclaim the policy of the King of all kings. And not his own interests, not himself, not his own ends and purposes. And then the reflexive pronoun, heautou. H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautou. Reflexive pronoun in the plural, ourselves. So the corrected translation says, indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves. We're not like all the false teachers in Corinth. Indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is the conjunction Allah plus the accusative singular of Jesus Christos Kurios. Allah, A-L-L-A, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated, but it sets up a contrast between serving Christ and serving self. It sets up a contrast between serving Christ and serving self. It sets up a contrast between the grace gospel and a false gospel. Indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And then it says, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. This is the post-positive conjunction de, plus the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun repeated, heautou, plus the accusative plural of doulos, with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun sou, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the accusative of Jesus. So now we have a different conjunction of contrast. Now we have de, D-E. Now Allah was used as the strongest conjunction of contrast. But, de is not. De is a continuative de, and it may be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We will translate it and. The accusative plural of heautou is, heautou is repeated, ourselves, and then doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S, doulos. And again, doulos is the word, literally, this is a slave. A slave, often translated servant, but it is a slave. The communicators of the Word of God are slaves of Jesus Christ. Every pastor is a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, every communicator of the Word of God is unconditionally obligated to feed the Lord's sheep. As communicators of the Word of God, every pastor is unconditionally obligated to feed the Lord's sheep. They are obligated to feed the grace and truth of the Word of God to the Lord's sheep. And that's John 21, 15 to 17. That keeps it coming up in our different books. Keep coming up. So turn back over again to John 21. John 21, great passage, verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Every pastor today, there are no apostles today, there are pastors. Every pastor is a slave of Jesus Christ. And as a result of being a slave of Christ, every pastor has an unconditional obligation to feed the Lord's sheep. That is given to every communicator of the Word of God. There are not that many faithful communicators of the Word of God in America today. In fact, it's very few and getting fewer and fewer and fewer as we speak. But every communicator of the Word of God is unconditionally obligated to feed the Lord's sheep. The personal pronoun sue, your slaves, your servants. The preposition dia plus the accusative. We've had dia, you ought to know this. I've been here 5,000 years, just about. Well, see, some of you thought that, yeah, I believe that. Dia plus the accusative, because of, on account of. Dia plus the genitive, by means of. This is dia plus the accusative, because of, on account of, Jesus. Because of Jesus. On account of Jesus. Again, going back to John 21, 15 to 17. Do you love me? Then you're obligated to feed my sheep. Pastor, here's the principle. Pastors are obligated to feed the Word of God to the Lord's sheep. Pastors are obligated to feed the Word of God to the Lord's sheep. So verse 5, indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants because of Jesus. Now verse 6, and this just kind of comes out and it kind of takes you by surprise. In fact, I'm going to give you the corrected translation because I can see I'm not going to exegete verse 6 tonight. Unless you'd like to stay 2 more hours. Anybody want to stay 2 more hours? Verse 6. Because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts for the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Because the God, and the God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the creator of the universe. Because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness. And all he did was speak. All he did was speak in his creation. Is the one who is shown in our hearts for the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Christ. All right, it starts out, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the articular participle of apon plus the noun phos with the future active indicative of lampo plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of skatas. Starts out with hoti. H-O-T-I. Hoti. Hoti is used here as a causal conjunction. It's translated because. Hoti introduces the cause or reason why Paul proclaimed the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, and why he did not make an issue out of himself. It introduces the cause or reason why Paul proclaimed the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, and why he did not make an issue out of himself. Now the Apostle Paul is going to make an allusion. Allusion. There was a very great class while I was at Dallas Seminary, the use of the Old Testament in the New. It was a brand new class that had never been taught before. And I was only a second year student at the time, and all the other of our group, a lot of them were seniors and a couple of them juniors, and they were all said, "Dick, you got to take this class. Guy, this is going to be a great class." And the first time I was in there, there was like, the whole room was filled up and people standing, students standing all the way around. And S. Lewis Johnson was teaching this, the head of the Greek department. He came in, he wasn't smiling, didn't smile. He looked at everybody and said, "Okay, I want you to know, every single person in here is going to exegete in the Greek every day, exegete in the Hebrew every day. You're going to be tested every day." And then he closed and he walked out. Well, he said that, "I'm only in my second year. I'm not going to be able to exegete Hebrew and Greek." And I'm saying, "You know, I don't know." And they, no, "You got Dick. You got to come back. No, Dick, you got to come back." So I went to the next time. We went in there. You could sit anywhere you wanted. 3/4 of them decided that wasn't what they needed to be taking. They needed to get back into homiletics and how to tie your tie and what kind of mannerisms you're supposed to use. But he got rid of 3/4 of them. He said, "Now I have the people who want to be here." And we didn't exegete every day in the Hebrew. We didn't exegete every day in the Greek. And we didn't have a test every day. But it was the best class. Best class. Use of the Old Testament in the New. Now, this is an allusion. Paul is making an allusion from Genesis 1, verse 3. This is not a direct quotation of Genesis 1:3. Rather, Paul is alluding to this verse, Genesis 1, verse 3. And by way of introduction, I'll give you the introduction and get you set up for next week. One, the darkened, chaotic earth resembled the condition of the unbeliever. The darkened, chaotic earth in Genesis 1 resembled the condition of the unbeliever. Two, every human being is born in the status of spiritual death, which is total depravity and separation from God. Every human being is born in the status of spiritual death, which is total depravity and separation from God. Three, like the lifeless primitive earth that was tohu wabohu, the spiritually dead unbeliever is enveloped in spiritual darkness. Like the lifeless primitive earth, Genesis 1, 1 through 4, we'll look at that next time. Like the lifeless primitive earth, the spiritually dead unbeliever is enveloped in spiritual darkness. Four, the only hope of spiritual life comes from God. The only hope of spiritual life comes from God. Five, what the Holy Spirit accomplished for the earth in renewal, He does in regeneration when a person believes in Jesus Christ for salvation. What the Holy Spirit accomplished for the earth in renewal, He does in regeneration when a person believes in Jesus Christ for salvation. And so what the Apostle Paul and his amazing genius, one of the great, maybe the greatest mind of all time, under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, guided him to have verse 6 put down here. Absolutely amazing, powerful. And we'll take a look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 next time. Father, we thank You once again for Your amazing grace. Thank You, Father, for the study we've had this evening. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in each one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.